You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Dane, which hurt more, the perfect shot from Juju Smith or the Grizzlies game for the Timberwolves? Which one was more painful?
Well, speaking of the Monday Night Football game, which is totally Locked On Wolves material, is
exactly.
The Joe Mixon getting knocked the F out, that hurt my fantasy team. I needed a couple points from him last night, and he died. So
I tell you what,
I took the L.
I'm sorry to hear about that as a fellow fantasy football player. However, and this ties nicely into what I was going to talk about later, but might as well bring it up now. I had the draft app going, and we always do draft Wednesdays for the basketball. I was doing the draft fantasy football and won some money, cleaned up nicely, had the old Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown combo on the team, and that performed admirably for me last night.
Hey, that works. Yesterday I was talking with Tom Schreier and Zach Bennett about potentially you firing up a gambling podcast. I wanna get on that.
You know what? If that happens, and I always bug Tom about giving me another show. If that happens, I will have you on as a guest for sure. You might have to be the first guest because we have an active bet going right now. But if that happens, and you know what? If you can bug Tom Schreier for me on Twitter, go ahead and do so. The fan base of Locked On Wolves, go ahead and bug Tom Schreier and give me that gambling podcast because I got plenty to talk about.
Well, related to our OKC LAC bet, I think this segues into the Wolves. Where are you at on a DeAndre Jordan trade? That was a rumor that came out kind of last week, and I think it's a fascinating piece to be added to a team, let alone the Wolves. There's so many factors in that, given his contract and given the Clippers having no incentive to keep him. I think there's a real shot that it makes sense for, well, DeAndre to get moved and then also to get moved to the Wolves.
They would have to move around a lot of pieces, though, because he's a pretty big cap hit, just as far, not, that doesn't even have anything to do with on the court stuff, I know, but as far as the cap room, they would have to move around some pieces because he is a pretty big chunk of cap that would be coming over as well.
Well, shameless plug here, if you're listening to this on Wednesday morning, I know this will come out on Tuesday afternoon, but I have a piece on kind of Carl Anthony Towns' defense and the DeAndre Jordan trade. So if you want to get into a little bit of cap minutia, that will be there. But really kind of what it comes down to is Gorgie Jang, in my opinion, would need to be moved to take care of that cap hit, which is a big question, I think, if you're the Los Angeles Clippers, because Gorgie Jang right now is on year one of a four-year, $64 million contract, which I think is pretty unanimously viewed as a negative asset. I don't think Gorgie Jang is worth demonstrably less than $16 million a year, but that's certainly an overpay. So I think if you're the Wolves, you're looking at it, you need to put Gorgie Jang in the trade, but that even ups the amount of assets you would need to attach to him to bring back a DeAndre Jordan. So that's kind of saying that, well, maybe the Wolves are up against the eight ball here a little bit, but in kind of looking through the rest of the league and the other teams that were involved in this rumor, I just don't really see anybody else being as hungry to get wins as the Wolves are. I know that sounds silly, but if you're the Toronto Raptors or the Milwaukee Bucks, it's kind of like, how much does DeAndre Jordan do for you? He's obviously a great player, but the Bucks and the Raptors, even adding DeAndre Jordan, are still going to be behind the Celtics and the Cavs. So you're bumping yourself up from the fourth or fifth seed to the three seed. They're not going to get through them to get to the NBA Finals. So I wonder how much value they're going to put in moving for DeAndre Jordan. Whereas the Wolves are in this really weird spot of being 13 years out of the playoffs, as we know, and just desperate to get into the playoffs and be a good team in the playoffs. They do want to move up one seed, so maybe they would be willing to mortgage some future assets. In my opinion, that's going to at least be the Oklahoma City pick that they have this year, which would probably be like 25th overall or something. And then probably Justin Patton or Tyus Jones attached to that as well would be my assumption. Where are you at on that, Colton?
Well, so there's a lot here. First of all, I think that since we always end up talking about trades, we should just do a segment every week, call it Trader Dan, where,
let's
or Trader Dane, where we talk about trades. So just, that's kind of impromptu on the fly segment. But I just don't understand the value that DJ would have for the Wolves, just because I think one of the problems that the Wolves have sometimes with Taj and with Towns is that the paint is already kind of crowded, and we're always preaching that they need to space the floor more. DJ is not going to help them space the floor more. And the other thing too is that if you are trying to get DJ, I think that the Clippers are going to want more than like a Gorgie. Like, I think they're going to want somebody maybe like a Tyus Jones, and people could argue that this is the time, if you want to get another piece, to kind of dangle Tyus Jones in front of people, because he just showed what he can do when he has his minutes bumped up to 30 or 40. He's a real piece on both sides of the floor. But at the same time, I don't know if I want the Timberwolves to add more players in the paint along with losing Tyus Jones. I don't know if the bench could really sustain losing both Gorgie and Tyus Jones, especially Tyus Jones and what he does with how he plays with the starters. You mentioned the Raptors. That was one of the teams I was going to bring up. I actually really like the idea of DJ on the Raptors, just because I think that he fits nicely with that. I don't think Valanciunas, I've never really thought too much of Valanciunas, honestly. I know he's a pretty solid center, but I've never thought he was that great or versatile. I think DJ is really good at playing in the middle, and he'll anchor that lineup with guys like Ibaka and DeRozan and Lowry on there. And if you look at the Raptors, the best playoff runs they have, or the best stints in the playoffs, is when they have a really dominant big, a guy who can really dominate the boards and chuck it back out to DeRozan or Lowry. Go back to who was the big guy in the middle who had the 20 rebound game against Cleveland for them? I'm blanking on his name.
Bebe?
Yes, yeah, yeah. They did really well when they had a guy like that in the middle, especially in the playoffs. So I think that DJ, I thought that was a great landing spot for him, was the Raptors, when it was brought up that they might be trading him. Also, third thing, another shameless plug here, I had my top 10 NBA storylines article go out yesterday. This was one of the things I brought up, not specifically the DJ trade, but the fact that injuries already in the season are shaping so much of what's happening in the NBA, to the point where we might see a team go from, oh, they might be a fourth or fifth playoff seed, to now they might actually be in full rebuild mode because of the injuries that happened specifically to the Clippers. So that's kind of crazy what's been going on. And the Grizzlies, too. They might trade Marc Gasol. So it's been crazy, the injuries that have taken place around the league and the effect they've had. But as far as DJ, I don't think he adds that much to the Timberwolves, and I think they're going to end up giving a piece that down the road they're going to end up regretting they let go of.
Well, okay, I could touch on all those points. The first thing you said is that there needs to be more spacing in Minnesota, and I disagree with that. I think that it appears that it's a little bit, or like the names make it sound like it's clogged, but I don't really feel like that's been an issue with Taj Gibson and Karl Towns specifically. I think Gibson does a very good job of giving Towns space when he needs it. I mean, definitely compared to the way in which I think Gorgui Dieng got in the way a lot more last year. Yes, Gibson is more of the player who wants to live around the lane or the dunker spot there, but I don't think he's really clogging up anything in Minnesota right now. I would say that, and then Towns too, it isn't getting a lot of post touches, so I don't really think the post is like an area that's super super clogged with the Wolves right now. Like, yes, we want to have more three-point shooting, and Jordan of course isn't bringing any of that, but neither is Taj Gibson, and that would kind of be the the rotation shift is that Taj would move to the bench in the Gorgie role, and DeAndre Jordan would start in Taj's place. And I really do think that would work. It would, when we're talking about what the Timberwolves' biggest issues are, it's lacking that post presence that understands defense. I mean, I think Taj does, but Towns clearly is lost defensively as a rim defender, a pick and roll defender, whatever it is. I think that value you get from DJ is immense on that end. And he's existed around Blake Griffin, who I think is a pretty similar offensive player to Karl Towns. I think we saw that work really well for, 5 or 6 years in LA with the two of them. So I think DeAndre is similar to Taj in a lot of ways, but mostly in he knows kind of his role and how to kind of stay out of the way, and then also most importantly how to anchor a defense. So I guess before I touch on Toronto, I'll let you rebuttal back on that.
All right, I'm going to rebuttal back to that. We're going to get to Toronto, and then we're going to get to the Grizzlies games that happened last night after this. All right, so my response to that is, so let's just say we move Taj to the bench. We put DJ in there. And this part of the problem really is rooted that Towns, his defense has not progressed at all. As you have Wiggins, who's his defense is starting to grow and it's starting to get better and better a little bit at a time, but Towns has not. He has. You had that tweet the other night where you had the little video of him just looking absolutely confused when the ball was bouncing.
Dude, that
around.
Thing caught like wildfire, man.
That
holy
was awesome.
Cow. Like, I wish like I could figure out a way to like capture my screen and the mentions of that, like the people quote tweeting what they say about that tweet, and it's just like they're calling him the Dominican Cantor, Carl Anthony Cantor, and just
social
like,
media ace Dane Moore on the line.
Dude, they are. I felt bad about doing the tweet because the responses were just so over the top negative. Like, I guess just from my perspective, I'm trying to put it out there, and maybe it's ripping on Towns like a little bit, but more so I'm just trying to point out the fact that he has been a little lost, and we talk all the time about, oh, well, defensive RPM doesn't capture all this, and quantifying defense is really hard, and Towns really does give us a lot of eye test examples of being lost and being a negative example, so... I guess I'm just trying to put it out there in that way, but it's not to say that like Karl Towns is some sort of bad player. Like, let's not get too much recency bias. He's obviously a dominant offensive player, and his defense has struggled, but it's not like beyond repair to this point where he's
no. I don't think either of us
playing 4 and 5.
I don't think either of us. We're ever going to go that far that it's beyond repair. I would say it's really hard for just any athlete in general to have a part of his game be broken beyond repair to where some solid off-season work and coaching could not fix it. But at the same time, he's in a rough spot. So anyways, getting back, I'm not going to lie to you. When I was watching the game, I saw that play. And I was like, is this going to be a thing on social media? Because I usually try not to check Twitter too much when I'm watching games. Yeah. I usually just try to watch the game. And because we have guys like you who are doing just phenomenal things on social media, clearly. But then later I saw that tweet and I goes, oh man, here we go. He's been put through the ringer. But so you have Taj on the bench. You have DJ who's going to do a better job on the rim. You still have Towns who's not really adding anything on defense. And then you still have a Timberwolves team who is going to have problems defending the outside like you saw the other day on Sunday against the Clippers when they hit 15 threes. So I think that adding DJ maybe is reinforcing some things in the paint, but I would ultimately rather see the Wolves add a really good like stretch four player who can play more outside and is going to be kind of in that same mold.
Isn't that what Towns is though? Like, that's what Towns is. Towns is a stretch four,
and
like he's playing power forward this year,
and again all
by power forwards. Like, I don't know, I think they need a rim defending center more than anything.
again, the thing that I'm hearing both of us say is we're both trying to add a guy to cover up a defensive flaw on that's kind of rooted in Towns' play. And so yep. I think really this season is more about Towns getting better versus what the Timberwolves can add. Because I think ultimately you're just going to be messing around with a roster that's already in flux. And mm-hmm. I think you might have to just end up living or dying by the roster they have. And then figuring out in the offseason, all right, do we actually have to move stuff around and figure out what we're going to do? Or is Towns going to be the guy that gets better in February? And then everything is kind of fixing itself.
Okay, to the DJ point and the offseason, is he is an impossibility to be acquired in the offseason, as is any free agent. So part of the Wolves free agent shopping can happen at the deadline here, whether that's to get a player with years left on their contract or if it's to obtain a player's bird rights like DeAndre Jordan. Because when they get to the offseason, they're going to have nothing but the mid-level exception available because they're over the cap. So that's, you know, at most an $8.5 million player. Like, you're not getting a starter for that. DeAndre Jordan, while I probably think it would still be a rental, there is the possibility in which that he opts into his player option for next year to stay in Minnesota. I don't think that's very likely. I think he will want to get a new deal, but he could then agree to a new deal with the Wolves. That's maybe 3 years, $75 million. So he gets that $25 million again next year and then is kind of locked in for the next few years. And while that's an additional $9 million on top of what Gorgui Dieng is making, that's not that much of a financial burden. It's this really, there's not going to be free agent moves in the next 5-6 years because of the Wiggins extension and the Towns extension.
They could still trade pieces for in the offseason for somebody if they feel like they have to get somebody, though.
But that isn't but that rules out getting a free agent.
True.
They could, but I just think it's, if you're going to do it in the offseason, why wouldn't you do it right now?
I just, part of it is that I feel like that this roster still hasn't fully clicked yet. And I don't know, I just don't know if you're throwing a new piece and adding new stuff when the roster still hasn't fully come together from what you've done over the summer. I don't know if that ends up making it better or if that puts you back another couple months and you're going to have to just keep getting on the same page for the next couple months as opposed to maybe finding that rhythm sooner. You know what I'm saying?
I just don't think I hear what you're saying. I just don't think that adding DeAndre would slow down that process anymore. Maybe it would marginally, but I think that's made up for and some by the player he is. I mean, he's massive. He is a true center that this team doesn't have. I mean, Gorgui Dieng does some things well, but he's not a rim defender. Taj Gibson has really long arms, but not like doesn't have the athleticism or that athletic ability to get up and defend the rim, and Towns sometimes doesn't even appear to know where the rim is. So there's just a need on this team for a rim defending center. And going back to the Toronto not having that much to offer, or Milwaukee also not having that much to offer, like, I really do think the best offer out there, or one of them, could be Gorgui Dieng, the OKC first, and Justin Patton. Like, I really do think it's a possibility that gets it done. And then you have DeAndre Jordan for the rest of the season. That really makes this team better the rest of the way. And there's some possibility that he's retained going forward. I don't think it's that much to go up. I don't think there's going to be that much demand for DeAndre Jordan. So that kind of weak of an offer could possibly get a very, very good player. Past three seasons, he's been on the All-NBA team, All-NBA defensive team in 15-16. I mean, this is a very good player. Yes, he can't shoot free throws. Yes, he can't shoot threes. But, I mean, it's a piece. And don't sleep on the Jimmy Butler friendship with DeAndre Jordan aspect. Like, that's really important, too. Those guys are boys. So there's something in that too. I don't know. I mean, you can tell. I'm excited about it and think that it unlocks something for this.
You're definitely all in on DJ. And just for the record, I don't think DJ is a bad player. I definitely agree he's a phenomenal player. I'm just not sure if I like the move. That said, if in the next couple of weeks, I think you really find out what the offering price for DJ is, because if the Blake Griffin, if they're keep losing games and they don't really want to bring Blake into a team that's going to struggle to get an eighth seed, and they don't want to bring him back early and possibly mess up his knee more, they might leave him out for a while. And this is something I covered with Lucas Hamm when he was on the other week, the Locked On Clippers host, is he might be out for a while if they really start to lose games and really get behind some other teams here. So they might.
Well, it's
you
the
might
same
end up
injury as Embiid, right? It's the meniscus, right?
Yeah.
And obviously we talked about the Sixers being overly cautious and they probably could have brought Embiid back, but Embiid played 31 games and then was shut down for the rest of the season with this same injury. I mean, Blake Griffin played, I think, 20 games and then was shut down. So it's possible that they, you know, don't blink like back, or it's way down the road. Like I guess what I'm saying is I think the Clippers are already at that point. I mean, look at the team that ran out against the Wolves on Monday.
Lou Williams and Austin Rivers, the new Splash Brothers, baby.
Well, yeah, and like the other like guys who, I mean, kind of more profile as G League players in the starting lineup in the rotation. I mean, that's just that Clippers team is just bad.
And so that's my point, is that because of that, the Clippers might just be shopping for picks, and that's where that Utah pick could really be big for the Timberwolves in a trade, is they're floating. And I know that Utah might end up being a playoff team, and so the pick will be back at the kind of the back half of the draft. But still, it's a pick to throw in with a trade that might help them secure somebody like DJ here.
And to clarify, it's the Oklahoma City pick. So Utah traded the Wolves, the Oklahoma City first-round pick for Ricky Rubio, not their own first-round
pick. Oh,
well,
that would be garbage because they're going to miss the playoffs then, too. So that'll work out great then.
Well, now
I'm going to win this bet.
I don't know. Yeah, but whatever. I think it's something interesting, and I just think even if it's not with the Wolves, I think the DeAndre trade market is going to be something that's kind of fascinating going forward here to the deadline, because a team we haven't talked about is Cleveland. Is Cleveland willing to put the Brooklyn pick on the table for DeAndre Jordan? Because if so, and I'm the Clippers, that's probably the most that's more appealing than Justin Patton, or maybe even more appealing than Thon Maker from the Bucks. I mean, that can be a top half of the lottery pick, and that might be enough to get them to say, yeah, we're blowing it up. We just want to get the best possible future assets. So
yep.
That's something there too. I think just DeAndre could make a pretty big shift. I guess that's kind of counter to what I was saying before with the Raptors, but I just think DeAndre Jordan's a very good player, and in a league that we're talking so much about the value of the center who can shoot threes, DeAndre Jordan is so good at defense and so good at what he does that he kind of makes up for the fact that he can't do that.
And to your point, Cleveland desperately needs some defense. I do think that they might have to move Tristan if they do bring in a guy like DeAndre Jordan, just because I don't know if those guys could be in the same roster with the amount
they're
paying both
of
them.
Yeah, they would have to move money. I mean, so it would have to be at least Tristan, because DeAndre's making $22 million, so you got to get in that $22 million range to make that deal. So
I actually put this in on I put this in on the ESPN. The trader, and you have to move, I think it's Tristan Thompson and at least like an Amon Shumpert to fit his contract on there. We're gonna get to the Grizzlies just a little bit here, just kind of recapping a bummer of a game for the Timberwolves right after this. All right, so we should talk about the game that happened the other night. The Grizzlies did beat the Timberwolves 95-92 in a tight one. Another really big game for Jimmy Butler. He recorded 30 points and had 5 assists in the game. It was right down to the wire with Butler launching a 3-point shot in the final few seconds before the game expired, and he missed it, so obviously because they lost. But what I wanted to get to was Evans. He might have been the MVP of the game with the 16 points, 9 assists, and that steal at the end, to the forced turnover to get the ball and kind of secure the win for the Grizzlies.
I mean, well, he's been starting now since Conley's been out, but that dude's probably the sixth man of the year. If the season were to end now, he's really been the type of player who has kind of revitalized his career. Tyreke Evans was a stud coming out of college, man, and he just never really kind of found a role. And he's always been this. He's been that type of player who can kind of isolate. He's so big and strong and really can fill it up. I wonder if he's in the NBA at the wrong time. You know, he would have maybe fit in a little bit better in the early 2000s, but clearly he's been a improved piece for that team that has needed, you know, something to fill the gap over Mike Conley.
So what, if you're a Timberwolves fan, what can you really take away from this game other than the fact that Jimmy Butler can still put up a bunch of points?
Well, is this just me, or it just felt like that the whole game, the Timberwolves, it was all Jimmy Butler and Taj Gibson. They were just kind of like, screw
this. 100%.
The young guys are just like, they're not coming along with us. And a lot, Taj and Jimmy's quotes before and after games in the past week have just kind of been saying like, yeah, they're attacking these guys. I don't know why we're not playing defense. I don't know what to do. And it just seemed like last night they were like, all right, we're doing it, just us two. And it was like pretty clearly that they were the two best Timberwolves players on both ends last night. And so I guess that's a testament to them in a way, is like, okay, good job. You guys can still score and defend. But they also need to realize that this Timberwolves team does not go far if it's a Taj Gibson, Jimmy Butler-led team. Like, and Andrew Wiggins and Karl-Anthony Towns are marginalized. Like, without like fostering touches and getting Wiggins and Towns going, like the Wolves just aren't going to be that good. So I guess I kind of see it in the frustration from Butler and Gibson, but they also need to make it a point to make sure that Towns and Wiggins are quote unquote engaged, because they clearly weren't last night and haven't been the past two games. I thought it was just that shot at the end of the game by Towns when he had that Dylan Brooks mismatch and just kind of pivoted out to like 18 feet, pump faked like 14 times and then shot up a shot was just so frustrating. And it just seemed like Towns was like, okay, I'm going to be the one to score here. I'm going to be the one to score here because I haven't got my touches. And that is just was terrible basketball. He had Butler on a cut. There just isn't really cohesion between the new veteran old guys and the young studs the Wolves have, and again they only go so far unless that gelling process happens between the young and the old. It's frustrating to watch right now.
All right, so we gotta head out here pretty quick, and I know this is a bad time to launch a grenade into the show when we don't have a ton of time left, but so you gotta keep this to a tight 30 seconds here, your opinion, your rebuttal to this, but could Butler and Taj and the way they want the team to play defense and the way they're going to hammer away at these young guys, could they potentially drive Towns away?
Well, the thing is nobody, people are like, oh, I don't know if Towns is going to sign that extension. Like, Towns is going to sign that extension. People, you can get so much more money staying with the team you're with. You can get the fifth year. Like, look at with Andrew Wiggins. I mean, when Towns,
Andrew Wiggins is so much more laid back as a personality that he'll be fine if guys are chirping at him. I'm not sure if Towns is going to take that as well.
Well, my answer is absolutely not. It's not going to drive him away. It's 25 games or whatever. It's been a struggle that we probably predicted with bringing in new players. They've done so to a 14-11 record. That's not terrible. Like, this isn't the end of the world. I mean, it would take an altercation of a much bigger level than Towns not getting enough touches in one game against the Grizzlies on a road back-to-back to push him away. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I don't think that that's logical. I think Towns is here for the long haul. I mean, it's just the way the CBA is set up these days. The good thing is when you're bad and you get a really high pick, that guy is on your team probably for 8 or 9 years. So I think we have talents for a long time coming.
Well, that's good news for Timberwolves fans. My gut reaction is to bet with you on this, so I should probably just hang up the phone right now before I lose anything else.
I'll take that bet for sure.
I know. Especially after our last wager, how that went. Definitely be looking for Dame Moore's article tomorrow that's going to go up, as well as going on zonecoverage.com and looking at all the great Wolves and basketball articles that are up there, along with other stuff, Vikings, Gophers, all that great stuff, Wild. It's all really good articles from some really great writers. Anything else you need to promote, Dane?
No, man, just keep checking out Zone Coverage. Like you said, it's not just Timberwolves. It's if you're a Minnesota sports fan, you're going to get a lot of hashtag content on zonecoverage.com. So, yeah, read what we got up there. I guess you can follow me on Twitter if you want to see me pointing out.
If you want to see him just embarrass the Timberwolves players just game after game, go ahead and check out his.
I try and say positive things, too. I try and balance it out. The negative things probably run a little bit better. But
there goes my chance of interviewing Towns on this show. Gosh.
No, Towns is cool. I'm cool with Towns. He says hi to me. I don't know.
Not anymore, Dane. Not anymore.
Yeah, hopefully he doesn't follow me or see that tweet. I do kind of feel bad about it. But Carl Towns, if you're listening, you can follow me on Twitter at Dane Moore NBA.
So. Of course he's listening. Alrighty, that's it for us. He's Dane Moore. I'm Colt Molesky, and this has been another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast.